Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the eMudhra conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Venkataraman from eMudhra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for joining the call. So we have already, we recently did one acquisition of a company called 295 International, and we have filed the necessary details with the stock exchange portal. And then this call is for a briefing and taking on the question and answers relating to this acquisition. So before we start the question and answers, I will give a brief overview of the company and overview of the acquisition. And later on, we can take the question and answers. So this company, 295 International, is in the IT services business. So focusing on this cyber security area and the digital transformation area. They have a good number of customers in the US, and they have been in existence for past 15 years. So they started in 2009 in New Jersey, in the USA, and 15 years they have been in existence. And their last year growth rate was about 16.7%, and they achieved a cyber security and digital transformation revenue of about 7.63 million. And the PAT is about 0.65 million. And we are acquiring the company for a total consideration of 10.1 million, but out of which some part payment will be made over the next year. 2 years after the completion of first year and after the completion of the second year. Until then, the current management with Mahesh Menon and Sankar Menon will be the company. So the transition and all those things, they will also take care. And that way, the continuity of management will be ensured. So based on the their revenue and the profit, the multiple, revenue multiple on our acquisition works out to 1.33 times. And the PAT multiple work out to 15.53 times. And the EBITDA multiple is about 9 to 10 times. So that way, the acquisition is clearly the EPS accretive for the eMudhra shareholder, because we are acquiring at a much lower valuation compared to the eMudhra valuation. And then the other thing is to give you a brief overview of our getting into U.S. and how we have progressed in the U.S. and why this acquisition is of significance. As most of you are aware, we ventured into the U.S. market about 2 to 3 years back. Then we were trying to sell our product. Then we acquired one company by name Icon. So after Icon, we got a customer base and employee base. And because of that customer base and employee base, we could penetrate the U.S. market. So if you see, our own product and the revenue from the U.S. market in the last year has improved considerably to over 6 to 7 million U.S. dollars, so that much it has improved. So, and we also got a number of reference customer base. Recently also, we have won a federal government order, the state government order, U.S. state government order, which can set up precedence for participation in many other state governments. So that way, in this company also, because we have a good number of customers, our ability to penetrate that customer base will be good, and our size and scale in the U.S. also will improve with this acquisition. So that is the, so from a logical standpoint, the key drivers which lead to this acquisition is, one is the increase in revenue base in the USA, then augment the talent to drive the customer engagement, then enhance local support to ensure streamlined delivery, then improve customer base for cross-selling, upselling of companies, products and services. And again, another important thing is the scale and reference customers in the U.S., which will provide with a strong credibility, not only in the U.S. market, but in the global market. So these are all the synergies, and these are all the purpose for which we are acquiring, and the logic I have explained to you in terms of the revenue multiple and the PAT multiple, and also about the continuity of management. So with that, I think I have given a fairly good overview. Maybe we can get into question and answers, and we can go over that.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, if you have any questions at this moment, you may press star and one. Our first question is from the line of Nitin Sharma from MC Pro Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking my question. A couple of questions. First of all, since back calculated, the EBITDA margin. Yeah. Hello, am I audible?
Your line is not very clear.
Is it better now?
Much better, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so this business is, as per my estimate, has an EBITDA margin of 15% to 16%. So what kind of impact it will have on consolidated basis on the eMudhra financial? And secondly, what is how big is the client overlap between the two companies?
First, I will address the client overlap. As of now, there is no client overlap because eMudhra doesn't have a large number of customers in the USA. So we have a few customers. They have almost 20-25 customers, so there is not much overlap. So in that customer base, we can try to sell our LPA, MCNR, and the other certificate management products. So that way, there is not much overlap. So that will provide a good platform. Then coming to the margin, because they are in the services business, the margin is low. But when we go and we scale up, we have to improve the margin. And then combined with our product and their services, generally in the product, the margin, gross margin will be 80-85%. So that's where even on their base of whatever 7-8 million, if you are able to sell some 2-3 million of product, the overall margin can easily come to generally whatever net margin we are having at around 18-20%. So that way it will take care of the margin.
Understood. Thank you. I'll get back to the queue.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from PKD Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on successfully executing the transaction, first of all. I wanted to understand, of course, more in detail. So what kind of, you said that they have about 20 or 25 customers. What are the nature of the profile of these customers? Are these the banks and healthcare companies that we would typically be after? What is the profile of these customers?
They are mainly in healthcare, utilities, and also some government customer and some financial service customer. And another thing is some of them are in the SAP related customers, and we have SAP integration for our product MCNR. So those customer base also will be helpful. So the majorly it is healthcare, utilities, government, and financial.
Great. So then that's very much the profile that we like. But I'm also wondering, have we done any kind of a pilot where we first teamed up with their BD team and tried to push our product and see some success or early recognition before we took this step?
We have not done, but with our earlier company, Icon, we did a lot of work. Our sales team worked with them, and then they have won some 4-5 customers. And recently also one of the state government in the U.S., we won the order for the MCNR. So that way, that experience we have, and similar way we can do with these customers.
Okay. So you believe that the experience that you have had with the Icon customers can be translated here? The learnings would be, the experience would be similar in terms of conversion?
Correct.
Got it. Understood. And how big is their team currently?
Their team is about 60 people, 50 to 60 people, and out of them, some 7-8 people are in India helping the U.S. Implementation and all that. The balance people are in the U.S.
Got it. And so in terms of the ramp up, in terms of integrating with them, I understand that there are more than just BD benefits that we are expecting from this acquisition. But from a BD perspective, do we have any kind of goals as to what will, quote unquote, make this a successful transaction within the first 1 year? How many accounts would we like to create, or how much revenue we would like to generate?
No, successful acquisition, if through this at least 4-5 MCNR, MCA customers we get for a value of $2 to $3 million, then we would have achieved our purpose in the first year. Then maybe over the years it can improve further.
Got it. So 4 to 5 M-signer plus MCA, but overall the target revenue would be $2 million from the first year.
Additional, $2 to $3 million. Not the current services revenue, only the product revenue.
Correct. Additional. Makes sense. Got it. And so I was also noticing that the promoter has sold 100% of his stake, but the promoter, as of now, at least plans to remain. How dependent are these relationships with the promoters, and how long have we locked in the promoter to remain with us?
Well, we have locked in for 2 years because only 87-88% money is paid now, and the balance will be paid in 2 years. So that way they are there, and also there will be an employment contract locking them for 2 years. So 2 years definitely they will be there.
Got it. Okay, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for questions, please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Rahul Vashishtha from Aksa Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Rishi Maheshwari. Thanks for taking my question. So this is from an understanding of the verticals that 295 is involved in. From the press release, it mentions that there is generative AI, digital transformation, edge computing, and cybersecurity. If you can throw some more light in terms of what is the proportion of revenue that comes from, say, generative AI and cybersecurity, that'll be helpful.
Well, the main key thing is the cybersecurity. Generative AI is more an add-on. Maybe I will ask Kaushik to explain how it will complement cybersecurity and other things. But predominantly 70-80% business relate to the cyber security area, and some business relate to digital transformation. Maybe Kaushik can explain how the generative AI complements this.
Yeah, just to add, in cyber security, they are more into SOC monitoring, threat intelligence, and those kind of sort of services. Here, more and more, there is immense amount of data that is coming to any organization. Historically being served by data analytics, but more now currently being served through these large language models, which are able to parse both structured and unstructured data to kind of give you quick inferences through a natural language interface. Right. So generative AI is more a value-added component in many of the areas that do. It's more like a horizontal sort of stack that is cutting across many of these other sort of verticalized, sort of specialized focus areas.
Sure. So what is the intention? The intention is to place an e-signer or some of our security solutions into the clients that the 2025 clients that you mentioned over here?
Yeah, that is one intention. Other intention is through their sales team and our sales team, we approach new customers with that reference and those kind of things. So both ways.
So the customer base per revenue, revenue per client, seems not very, very big. From about 25 clients, you generated about $8 million.
In our company, what we are able to acquire for $10 million will be like this. Otherwise, it will be $100 million, $200 million. We are not looking at those kind of company.
Sure. No, I get that. Fair enough, sir. Next question is in terms of understanding what is your thought in terms of making U.S., currently, I think eMudhra would be about $15-16 million in terms of annual revenue from U.S. How would you perceive this revenue from the U.S. to be in the next 2 years?
Next 2 years, maybe around $40 million at least we should reach. That's what we will aim. 40 to 50 can go after 2 years.
And so you're saying organically put together, this is $24 million run rate is what you're already running at. So that $24 million should go to about $40 million.
Yes. So currently, we may not be running, including this acquisition.
So by acquisition, this will become $24 million.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. So this $24 million, you're assuming that this should go to $40 million in 2 years?
Yeah, including some acquisition.
Including some of the prospective acquisitions?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Srinath V. from Belvedere Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kaushik. Wanted to understand the technology compatibility between the service 295 offers and our product suite, especially from if there is any technical compatibility from an MSign Hub perspective, or would it largely be our no paper transformation business, and where would they come in? Would they come in more implementation or designing the protocol and so on? So if you could spend some time on how the technology overlay between the two companies work. Thank you.
Hi, Sina. So a couple of areas that they are focused on. One is on the cybersecurity side, as I said, where there is a good fitment for our certificate lifecycle management, because they kind of, manage a lot of the network operations, security operations for some of these customers that were just outlined through the consulting piece, where there is now slowly this concept of zero trust that is getting embedded, where certificates are being deployed across, networking devices to primarily ensure the interconnects are secure, identified, and sort of encrypted. So that's one area which will complement whatever we have with what they are selling. And the other area is more around the digital transformation, Gen AI, where they also have, some state government contracts where they do some SAP work, right? So there again, what we have on the EM signer side will probably complement some of the existing work that they are doing to facilitate, more easier sort of signing on the various use cases like invoices, purchase orders, and whatnot, right? So I think these are the two immediate areas that we are kind of looking at. And also they have built some interesting modules primarily around ERP data analytics using Gen AI, which we'll try and also see how we can plug in more from a cost averaging standpoint.
Perfect. Just a follow-on on that, in cybersecurity, are they working with like Fortune 500? So this is largely mid-market. And where would they come in?
Mid-market, few, larger companies that are probably in the Fortune 100, 200, and as well as, some of the state government entities, right?
Perfect. And you guys, so they would be able to even do the design architecture to, place MSign Hub in these customers, because it would be a complex overlay, right?
No, they do have some talent who are sort of subject matter experts in areas that we are looking to cross them. Maybe it has to be complemented with a little bit of training that is specific to the product, but the broader understanding of cybersecurity and how zero trust plays out, they do have people that understand it.
Got it. And from a Gen AI perspective, the third lever that you spoke about is homomorphic encryption critical for that? That's where we would come in to help them out? Would that be a fair understanding?
No, so homomorphic encryption is obviously more on the cybersecurity side. It's more applicable to the way keys are managed, key management from a data privacy standpoint. That we'll have to slowly work with them to see how those kind of use cases can be popularized, because it's still in kind of early stages, right? So as of now, the thought process is more whatever we had just outlined earlier. Homomorphic encryption will take it up, once some of these conversations become a little more mature.
Perfect. The last one would be, how would the organization structure play out in US now? We have, one entity in Texas and our management sits out of there. If I'm not mistaken, this asset is on the East Coast. So want to understand how will the whole company, look like from a structure point of view 12, 18 months out in US?
No, structure point of view, it will be services and product. So services, because both has to be driven by separate sales team. So how the sales team, the management predominantly is in India. So the management, finance, legal, all these things we control out of India. Then the international sales is under Arvind, who sits in Dubai. But their separate sales, services sales will have to be controlled separately, and the product sales has to be controlled separately. So on the product sales, we have the sales team, we have created some 4 or 5 very senior people we have recruited. So that sales team have to work with the ICON sales team as well as this 295 international sales team. So to get into the customer and then gradually sell our product and solution to them. But otherwise, the other services sale, these respective sales team itself will do.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations for your successful acquisition, sir. I'll get back into the question.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to register for questions, please press star and one. The next follow-up question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from PKD Advisors, LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. So thank you for the follow-up. So I know this question was somewhat asked earlier in the con call as well, but I'm just wondering how this, at a consolidated level, what does this imply for our margin guidance as well as revenue guidance? The guidance that we have given was an organic basis, and so this will be the extra layer on top. In terms of revenue and in terms of operating margin, at least for the first year as we go about converting these customers, do we fear that our EBITDA margins will drop?
No, the guidance we gave of about from last year revenue was 380 crore. From there, we said it could go to 480 to 500. That is inclusive of acquisition. We said that we are looking at small service acquisition and also product acquisition. So, it's around 500 crore guidance, which is a 30-32% growth kind of guidance, was including acquisition, number one. And the margin also, we said last year around 20% tax margin. This year we said because the UAE also is introducing the tax, it can go down to 18%. So that is what will be there. That is also including lower margin from this acquisition, complemented by higher margin arising out of our product sales, so that the overall net margin can be maintained at that 18%. At least, so this is what we are thinking.
So you believe that the guidance that you've given for PAT margin, even with this acquisition, can be maintained, correct?
Yeah, because with that we think we will be able to sell the product which will have higher margin. So though this may have lower margin, on a combination basis, should be able to maintain.
Got it. But the 30% revenue growth you're saying was the guidance was inclusive of inorganic.
Inclusive, yes. Correct.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Moksha Shah from Agility Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my first question is regarding the acquisitions that we are planning. So are we planning more acquisitions in future and particularly in US? You just mentioned there's an additional revenue of 40 to 50 million from the acquisitions. So what would be the timeline for this?
What is it? No, there are two questions. What you are saying, 40 to 50 million from acquisitions?
I think the statement earlier made was that the overall revenue in US, like you said, on the current level of whatever, 40. So it's not incrementally 40, it's incrementally
correct.
That's a figure.
Right. Acquisition side, because even our QAP, we made with some targets of acquisition. So this is one of the acquisition. We are looking at some more acquisition, but small company, maybe a product acquisition or a small trust service company acquisition, those kind of thing in US and Europe. So some of those may materialize within the current financial year.
So this target would be led with the acquisitions that we're doing or just the inorganic growth?
What is it?
The additional revenue, the 40 to 50 million target that we have, that is including the organic and the inorganic.
Again, 40-50 million is not the additional revenue in the US. The earlier question was, currently you are doing a run rate of 2 million per 2 million per month or something, that is 24 million run rate with this acquisition. Including the acquisition, the US run rate is 24 million. In the next 2 years, where do you see the US revenue? So that was the question. For that, we said the US revenue in 2 years could become 40 million. So that is not the global revenue.
Okay.
From the global revenue perspective, we gave a guidance of 380 crore to 500 crore, including acquisition. So as of now, that 500 crore, we feel we should be able to achieve. That is
very okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Rishi Junjunwala from IIFL Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. I'm just taking a step back in terms of, our acquisition strategy. If you look at 295 International, it looks like, pure play traditional IT services company. Given that, our genesis has been around products, going into acquiring IT services companies, do you think that, you know, that makes more sense than probably just, you know, collaborating with them, given that at the end of the day, we want to be positioned in the marketplace as a products company, right? Or how are we thinking more about that? Because last two acquisitions that we have made are on the services side, whereas much part of the growth and our overall DNA has come from the product side.
You should see, for a long term, if you have to grow as an independent company, you have to be diversified. If you are only in product business, if you plan, okay, in 4 years, 5 years, I'll sell the company, it is to be acquired by a large company, that's a different strategy than one you can be in one segment. But otherwise, being in one segment, suddenly if that segment gets into problem, you do not have the diversity. So from that perspective, one side is trust services, other thing is the solution, and the third service, the service side also we want to develop, so that there is a clear focus on all the sides and diversity. So if in one segment there is some beating, then the other segment picks up and all that. And another thing is, if you are a pure product company, out of the entire IT expenditure in the world, there will be some Gartner report and other report, hardly 6%, 7% of the total expenditure is the product expenditure. Lot of things are service expenditure. So that the service diversity is always required. So this is one side. Then the second thing is, whether can we acquire more and more product versus a services company? You can acquire, but the acquisition of a product company is very, very costly. And the acquisition of product company sometimes is done to kill the product because they are a competitor. Making both the product work is also more complex unless it is extremely complementary. So given all, whereas service company acquisition much cheaper, and service company will have much more customer base into which the product can penetrate, and through which you can, at a lower cost of acquisition, the product can also penetrate well. So this is where, considering all these aspects, we feel that we are not averse to acquiring product company, but if any small product company comes at a very low valuation, then only we'll do. Otherwise, even a 5 million, 10 million product company will ask 100 million for acquisition consideration, so which is not possible to do. So this is where we have to balance all the aspects of the IT and then take a call, instead of only saying in one way we'll go, other thing will not. So this is where that is our thinking.
Sure, sir. But, you know, at your scale, when we look at, like, product revenues specifically, we are roughly talking about what probably, you know, $25, $30 million, right? So at that scale, do you think some of these, you know, parameters or considerations are relevant? Don't we have a runway to be 100, 150 million first before thinking about diversification around services and you know, growth trajectory?
Even at 25, 30 million, it is relevant, because a lot of pure product company even do not come to 25 million. There will be at 8, 10 million itself, it can get into problems. So obviously, this consideration of balancing everything and reducing the risk and the balanced way of looking at things is very essential. And these kind of service company will give more customer base for us to penetrate.
Fair enough. And just on this 295, it looks like, so for an $8 million revenues, if you have only 60 employees, the overall revenue per employee seems to be significantly higher. It's like $130,000, which is effectively like a consulting.
American employee, it will be higher only. Any American employee.
But you have a blended this thing, right? They have offshore plus on-site. Both.
Offshore is very less, some 7-8 people.
Oh, okay. Understood.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for questions, please press star and 1. The next follow-up question is from the line of Srinath V. from Bellwether Capital. Please go ahead. Srinath, sir, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Kaushik. Again, on the SAP client, we saw that...
Kaushik has just gone out.
Okay, sir. No problem, sir. Just... Yeah, yeah. So no problem, no problem. So wanted to understand, sir, this SAP client base of the company, is it largely in implementation or maintenance, and how would our you know, no paper transformation business fit into their SAP line? Is it that you know, their existing client base are with, say, a DocuSign or something like that, and we would look to replace, or in the process of implementation itself, they are a for paper business that we look to replace? Want to understand the SAP connection to our product suite, sir. Thank you.
What we are doing in the US is we are not going with a replacement strategy, because replacing is very difficult. Because everywhere, almost 95% market is taken by DocuSign, and some percentage are 80-85%, and some 10% is taken by Adobe. All other vendors are 5%. But one thing is, everybody wants to keep some alternate vendor, so if at all any problem happens to the with one vendor, they can route the transactions to other vendors. So these kind of things are there. So this is where we are focusing. We are focusing and saying we are a cheaper alternative, but don't shift everything to us, but you keep our API and connection everything ready, so that some volume you can route and keep on testing, so that if suddenly some problem happened to DocuSign, you can also use our platform. So this is where we are doing, and this strategy is reasonably successful. And for the volume we are expecting, the strategy itself is okay. So this is what we are doing. We are not, because complete replacement of DocuSign, if you go, then easily it may not be possible to get it done. And they may ask what reputation we have in the US, how many customers we have, what is our revenue, so many questions, which will be difficult. So this is the strategy with which we went into comms. Same strategy we are going with these several other four or five other customers also.
Got it. Just on the SAP business of theirs, how does that synergize with us? Meaning, are they doing SAP maintenance or are they doing implementation? And at which stage will we come in?
In SAP, some of the module we are directly connected. So directly from SAP itself, any customer can invoke emSigner, and then they can use the emSigner and all. So that kind of integration we have built with the SAP, and we are also one of the recognized partners of SAP like a DocuSign, but not at the level of DocuSign, but at a lower level of partnership, because I think some investment SAP has on the DocuSign, so their partnership is at a higher level, but our partnership is at a lower level, but we are also a recognized partner. So that's where the SAP customers can easily use the emSigner.
Got it, got it. Perfect, sir. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll get back to
you. Necessary, Kaushik can explain you more in technical detail.
No problem, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll get back into the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to join the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone now.
I think if there are no questions, then we can close the conference.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Venkataraman for closing comments.
Yes, I want to thank all of you for taking interest and attending the conference and then putting valuable questions. It's really interesting, and I hope we have clarified all the questions. And later on, if any of you have any questions also, we can handle the questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of eMudhra Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.